going to read Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 7, and we'll have a word of prayer. And I know we didn't have our usual prayer time, but it was so good to have Brother Kurt come and share with us. And we'll just offer a general prayer for all the prayer requests. But remember to pray for the Keystone Independent Baptist Church and for the work that God is doing there. It's always a blessing for us to pray for those of like precious faith, churches that are in the trenches with us. And it's been my privilege and our privilege to know Kurt and, of course, his wife, Pam, for many years, and his son, Mark, who has been a blessing to the church. I know that. All right, Romans 15. I'm obviously not going to get this whole sermon done today. That's okay. But we can at least introduce the subject. And this is a good Sunday to talk about the church, because it is the day of Pentecost. Romans 15, follow along. Sorry. Apostle Paul writes, "We then that are strong, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee, thou me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Father, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher and help us to glean from this wonderful passage the truth of how important unity is in the body of Christ. Lord, we want to lift up to you all the aforementioned prayer requests. We ask your Holy Spirit move upon us to come back Wednesday night so we could pray more intimately for all. We think of the request of our sister Kim for her father, for the Hastings family. We think of the request given today by Sally concerning Brody. We lift him up, ask for his healing and strength. I also lift up, Lord, before your holy throne today, the family of Normie Martin. Lord, we will miss him, but we know he's in a far, far better place. And then, Father, all of the requests of the church, you know them intimately, and we just place them before your throne. Again, bring us back as one body to pray for the needs of this church family, of our community and our country. Bless our brother Kurt. Grant him safety as he and his son Mark travel back to their church. Bless his ministry. Strengthen his hand in the work. Father, burden the people to have a vision for the lost, to grow the church for the glory of God. May, Father, today, as we look into your word, we see how important it is that we be of one mind, of one heart, all having the same goal and not fighting and having division among us. Bless us, O Lord, as we look into the Scriptures. Again, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We started the series entitled Purifying and Strengthening the Local Church a number of weeks ago. And of course, we had a 2-week break because last week was Mother's Day and the week before that was our special Owasa Sunday. But I remind you, we began with talking about how things can hurt the church. And God does not want us in any way to hinder the ministry of the local church. And so we must be busy about purifying and strengthening the ministry through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has blessed each and every one of us with. We talked about how secret sins hinder the body of Christ. We went over to the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 7, And we looked at verses 1 through 13 and we discovered how the sin of Achan hindered the body of believers there. And then we went to James chapter 1, verse 22 to 27 to talk about how indifference encumbers the church. If there's ever a day that we need people to be involved, it's today. We're living, as Brother Kurt mentioned, and my heart is in tune with my brother, that I believe that we could see the coming of the Lord in our time. And even so, as John said, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And then we talked for a couple of weeks, and many of you came to me and said, Pastor, this is where I'm having the trouble. It's fear. Fear impedes the church. Fear keeps us from being a witness for Jesus Christ. Fear keeps us from opening our mouth and giving the gospel or giving the tract. Or even inviting somebody to the church. And we lamented over that and we prayed over that. And we challenged you not to let fear cripple you. And we gave you some encouraging scripture from Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 13, that God is always going to be with you and strengthen you. But today, on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to begin a sermon that's probably going to take a couple of weeks. And that is, we need to come to the understanding that disunity stifles the church. A number of years ago, the Barna Research Group, which is founded by a good Christian man, George Barna. I've met him. He has a real heart for the local church. He believes in the ministry of the local church. He really prays for pastors. I appreciate his spirit. Barna Research Group revealed that the millennials, and we know that there are not that many millennials in our church, and we need to have a heart to reach them, but the millennials who are opting out of church cite three factors with equal weight in their decision not to participate in the local church. 35% of those millennials surveyed cited the church is irrelevant. I've told you that many times. The millennials think the church is irrelevant. If I want a sermon, I'll just go on the internet. But we know that's not the church, is it? If you're here today and you think the internet could be your church, you have a lack of understanding of what the church of Jesus Christ is all about. I think Kurt made mention of it. It's all of us working together corporately, reaching a vision that God has set through Jesus Christ, the Great Commission. One of the reasons they also cited is a sad one, and that is the moral failures of its leaders. Now, I think that's often an excuse. This is prevalent everywhere, not just in the independent movement, but in many churches, we find the moral failure of its spiritual leaders. But that's not an excuse to abandon the body of Christ. But this is the one that I want to focus on, and that's going to launch me into a short expository study of this passage, and then we're going to go to some selective passages. I don't think we'll get all that done today. But millennials say, and it's 2 out of 10 that they surveyed, who made this claim that they feel God is missing in the church, and there is a sense of great disunity starting at the door. It was interesting that they said starting at the door. That is sad. Would to God no one come to Dover First Baptist Church and sense this unity, that they come into the church and they sense all of us are welcoming them and care about them. And it just takes one person to be arrogant and unfriendly to make them think that. People. Discord strikes a deadly blow at the work of God in our churches. Chaos, confusion, strife, envy, jealousy, anger, bitterness, dissension, fighting, hatred, all of these things we will address. probably the greatest of them all, selfishness and a lack of sacrificial love. All of these violate, hinder, stifle the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ, and therefore they violate the will of God. They cripple His testimony in the world and in the community. Do you know the first thing that's going to happen when someone comes in the doors of Dover First Baptist Church and they sense disunity, they sense dissension, it's going to be broadcast all through the town, and you're deceiving yourself if you don't think that's happening. Because that's the devil's strategy. Amen? Do I get an amen out there? Well, that's not to say that things are always going to be perfect. But you know, we don't hang out our dirty laundry, amen? We need to learn how to settle our disagreements and disputes among ourselves in a way that glorifies God. Amen. And I'm not just preaching this to preach a sermon in a series. I'm preaching to what I think are some of the needs that are developing right here in our own church. Churches go through cycles. And Brother Kirk can attest to this. He's been pastor of a number of churches. We have those times where we're on the top side, you know? But then we start going down, you know? And then we get to the pit, to the 6 o'clock hour. And it's time that we come back to where God wants us. And I hope that this message brings us back to the unity where we can all work together, be of one heart, one of mind. Can't be going in 3-4 different directions. And so this passage is a good passage because this passage from verse 1 to 6 is a call for unity. As Paul comes to an end of his epistle, he talks about this subject. He begins to say, we, meaning us, it is intimate. It is we who are working together in the body of Christ. We then that are strong. And he's talking about those that are spiritually strong. Christians who are mature spiritually. They ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We're always going to have in every church those who have been, as we say, veterans of the faith and those who are babes. Amen? Am I right, brother? We're always going to have that. And it's horrifying to a babe in Christ when they come to church and they still have some of the world's ways, and we cut them down. We don't build them up. We hurt them. We hinder them. We who are strong, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Sometimes I think we do it to please ourselves, just as Paul says, not to please ourselves. You shouldn't do this. Look at me. I'm right up there with God. No, none of us are there. If you think you have arrived, look out. Take heed, lest you fall. Believers should realize that fussing and feuding, it strikes a deadly blow to the work of God. It saddens our Father because Jesus, His only begotten Son, gave of Himself that we could have this wonderful love and unity, this wonderful institution called the church. It's a refuge from the world. I am so happy for it.
Amen.
I hope that you are. You know, sometimes when Wednesday nights roll around, some of you have been beaten up already by the workplace, the world, and you look forward to just being with the family of God. No one should ever come to church and feel like, gee, if I go to church today, Mrs. Jones might just say something negative to me. We ought to be building each other up. There's enough of that garbage out there.
Amen.
Discord is among one of the 7 evil sins that God hates. And I read Proverbs every day, so I'm in tune to these truths that God gave Solomon. And we'll come to that a little later. But right now I want us to think about what David wrote. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133 speaks to that. And that pleases God. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We're not always going to like each other. We're not always going to agree with each other. But we're family. Amen. You may not have the same blood coursing through your veins, but if you're a Christian, you've been born again, the blood of Jesus Christ has washed you clean from your sin, just as it's washed all of us believers.
Amen.
And so we're a family. One of the most difficult aspects of the Christian life is resisting the desire to have our own way. Paul says that. We'll go to verse 2. Let every one of us please his what? Neighbor. But we live in a world that says, no, 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 no. You take care of you. Scripture is foreign to that. In fact, we're to esteem others better than ourselves. But it's difficult to do that because we live in a culture that tells us, no, no, you got to take care of number one. Of course, we all know about narcissism. Don't let it creep into the church. You know, 45 times in the New Testament, we are admonished to care for one another and to love one another. I was glad that Brother Kurt mentioned that. He said, amen, Lord, you're authenticating and substantiating the preaching for today. And if we don't love one another in spite of our shortcomings, no one's going to love coming to the church. Amen? And say, I can get that at work. I can get that with my family. People want to come through the doors of a church and they want to feel loved and accepted just as they are. You know, that's how God accepts us. I'm not condoning sin. God hates sin. But if we think a person who's unsaved is going to come through this door, the doors of this church and behave as a Christian, how can they? You got to get saved to get better. You can't get better till you do get saved. We got to nurture them. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and the lost. Trouble and divisions usually begin in a church when one person or a group of persons try to get their way over another. How many churches have been split? I know Brother Kurt knows all about this. At pastoral conferences and church conferences, we talk about this, we pray about this, how churches have split over some of the most ridiculous things. Like the color of the carpet. Well, we're going to buy brand new carpet, and my grandmother and my mother put money in the church, and it ought to be the color that they want. And you see, we can become selfish, and we can let the devil creep in through our selfishness.
Right.
Healthy spiritual change can only be brought about by applying the Word of God. Not just talking about loving one another and esteeming others better than ourselves. It's doing it. Well, I don't like to do it because I've been wanting that for years. Well, maybe God's trying to teach you shouldn't always get your way either. Sacrificial love is just that. It makes a sacrifice. I know of a church in Pennsylvania. Church split. Beautiful church. In a very wonderful area right there by Clark Summit, by the Bible College. Split over ridiculous, ridiculous things. I don't want to get into all of that. The people that kept the building and the others left. They had no idea what it was like to minister to unsaved. We walked in there to worship on vacation. I sat in the pew and a guy came and he said, "You're in my seat." And that's just about the way he said it. What do you think? I was thinking, this church doesn't want me here. Thank God for you folks. Someone sits in your seat. You're not going to chase them out. You'll lovingly find another seat. Paul taught, we're not to look upon ourselves. Look not every man on his own things. He said in Philippians. But every man also in the things of others. Philippians 2:4. Similar to this verse. Let every one of us please his neighbor. For his good to edification. To build our neighbor up. I think that can include. Of course it includes a brother. I think we can expound that or extrapolate that we should even be thinking that way about the lost. They need to get saved, amen? Once they get saved, they could begin to grow. They can have the joy and the peace that can only come from the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know, this verse, it really gets to the root cause of disunity, doesn't it? Selfishness. I'm not thinking about my neighbor, I'm thinking about me. This is my seat. This is my church. I want my way. It's selfishness. Selfishness will kill a church, just as it would kill a family, a home. Selfishness can kill a church. In the church, the Apostle Paul taught that we are to think of others even more highly than ourselves. Keep your finger there. I know you all know this, but flip back to chapter 12. And I have you do this because maybe every once in a while we need to see this in the written word. Because the world is so foreign, it pollutes us, so foreign to the things of God. It pollutes our thinking. And we can get caught up with thinking like the world. But over and over again, we're instructed as believers to love one another. Paul said it this way, be kindly affectionate, one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, what's that next word? Preferring one another. And in other places, he says that we're to esteem others even better than ourselves. Wow, that is so opposite to the thinking of the world. But it will grow your church. It will foster unity. If people come to this church and walk through the door and say, oh, I know these people care about me. They care about me even more than themselves. They're willing to give me kind of like the shirt off their back. That's the kind of love the world needs. And that's what they need. You know, Paul reminded his readers, the Lord's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done, amen? Verse 3, he says that, doesn't he? Even Christ pleased not, what? Himself. Wow. Our commander and our Lord never asked us to do anything he didn't do. He didn't please himself. We studied not too long ago the passions of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yes, Jesus showed he was fully human. Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And then the apostle Paul, he quotes from scripture. It's a wonderful thing to do. He didn't have the New Testament. He was in the process by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to actually write it. But he went back to Psalm 69 and verse 9. For the zeal of thy house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Prophetic. And that's what Jesus would do for all of us. Are you saved today? Do you know that your penalty of sin, your reproaches were placed on God's precious, only begotten Son? If you will stop for a moment and think of what it cost our Heavenly Father to redeem a lost humanity back unto Himself, you would have nothing but praise and thanksgiving for God. Apart from Jesus Christ, we'd all be cast out of the presence of a holy God and into an eternal hell. God loves you. He loves you with an undying love. He loves you with the love that I really cannot put into words. And He desires we who are Christians who know of His love to love others. And He says, you know, verse 4, if you look at it, for whatsoever things were written for time, were written for our, what's that next word? Learning. Are we learning from the Scriptures? Are we learning from the teaching of the Holy Spirit to our hearts of how we are to behave in the church of God? There is so much more that we need to address because there are many things that breed disunity. But I don't want to rush this. But I want to take a moment for someone who might be here, maybe more than one, who you are frustrated because, you know, you have tried in your flesh, you know what I'm saying when I say flesh, in and of your own self, to be a good person. You know? You want to be thinking of your neighbor. In fact, you're thinking, gee, that's one of the primary commandments of God, that we treat others as we would like to be treated. We want to, you know, apply the golden rule. You can try to apply the golden rule all you want. You can die and go to hell because being good will not ever get you saved.
Right.
Are you saved? What do you mean, Pastor? Have you come to understand that you're a sinner? That the things that I've mentioned today are innate in all of us, myself included. We can be selfish people. In fact, Paul gives a whole list of things that we were before we came to Christ. Thanks be to God, I don't live in those things anymore, amen? And you don't have to either. You don't have to be frustrated about trying to do good and not do it. But don't try to get better to get saved. You got to get better. You got to get saved to get better. Can't get better until you get saved. Are you saved? God desires that you have an understanding that you're a sinner. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus paid your way to heaven. Have you acknowledged you're a sinner? Have you told Him, God, I am a sinner. Forgive me. And I repent. And you better mean it. Because God, you know, you can't fool God. You can fool any of us, but no one can fool God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows your heart. Repentance is saying, God, I don't want to be like this. Let me ask you a question. Maybe this will help you. If I had a bottle of pills here, and I said, after church, if you come up, I'll give you this pill, and you'll never sin again. Never. You won't even think of sin. Now, obviously, you can't do that. But wouldn't you desire that? Let me ask you, would you desire that? Amen. Well, then, if you can say you can desire that, you could be saved. Amen? Say, oh, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending Him to take upon Himself my sin. All of my reproaches fell on Him. Thank you that He died in my place. And that, Father, He rose from the dead in victory over sin, death, and the devil. And I am forever your child. I trust if you've never accepted Christ that you'll do that. Because He'll make you a new creature. And the things that we're talking about in this series about working together in unity, it will come a little easier. It really will. Because you're going to start to die to yourself. Because you're going to start to emulate what Jesus lived like. Amen? And Jesus died to Himself. I have to close, but I am nowhere near, not even one third, through this sermon. Paul considered it essential to teach the matter of unity. Therefore, I, as a pastor, must also know that it is essential to teach and to encourage the matter of unity. He knows that one of the great potential problems of the church is conflict, often between the strong Christian or mature Christian and the weaker Christians. And that sometimes these things can disrupt the unity, and sometimes it's just plain selfishness. God is displeased when we sow seeds of discord And yet our Heavenly Father loves all of us. Doesn't love our sin, but He loves you. He does not like or even want us to dwell on sin, but we do. He hates certain sins, and next week we'll get into that a little bit more in detail. But for now, I want you to know that God cares intimately about you. He will give you all the resources you need to be that person that can help your church and grow your church and have your church be in unity. You know, He made you very special. He did. Each and every one of you. You know, when I just see people sometimes, I get amazed at God and at how God creates. And sometimes, you know, because we've been polluted by the world, we'll look at somebody and we'll kind of internally, not externally, but internally, pass a little judgment. And yet I think, you know, God created that person. And in God's eyes, that person is beautiful. We don't see the beauty. But you are unique to God. He created you that way. He made you very special. And He desires all of us who are Christians to use the special gifts, the special spiritual endowments to bless others and to encourage them. That's what pleases our Father. Has not God been good to you? And so use the good that God gave you to glorify Him. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to introduce the message, the importance of unity in the body. Lord, may the Holy Spirit do in the hearts of these people what I cannot. What would be almost impossible for me to do. But nothing is impossible for You. And Lord, I pray that each and every person that's here today at the Dover First Baptist Church has been saved and born again and know that they die, they go to heaven. Not because of themselves, but because of the finished work of Christ. But Lord, there may be one among us today who cannot say that if they died absent from the body, they would be present with the Lord. Oh God, help them today to repent of sin and come to the place where they'll acknowledge that Jesus became sin for them who knew no sin, that they may have the righteousness of You, our Father. Bless, Father, that truth. Save that soul that may be even near the gates of hell. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook and open to 182. And if you're here today and you know absolutely you're not saved and you want to be saved, I'm happy to talk to you. I'm happy to talk more about Jesus to you. Because that's the only way you'll be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by Me. Let's sing that. More about Jesus. 182.